Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Kaku, Pitimore, and the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you are. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance, as we take a deep look what is happening within the Ministry of Finance. And as you know, the budget has been read, the debate is on. And so with me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antwine. We are going to be talking about the budget and many other things here in Grenada. We take a word from our sponsors. We come right back right here. Inside Finance is next.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antwine, prominent secretary within the Ministry of Finance. Good day to you, Mr. Timothy.
Good day, Pastor Simon, and good day to all of our listeners home and abroad.
Well, it's good to have you back in the studio, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Well, the budget have been read and the promise have been kept.
Indeed.
No new taxes.
Indeed. Indeed. So you now have it officially.
I now have it officially. And well, before we get to the budget, I am sure there are a number of things that are happening. But most important, with all that been happening in Paris, and I knew that you flew to Paris, with among the things happening there, at least you had the fate to go to Paris. I understand that you were there. Why were you there, and how was the visit? What was the purpose of your visit in Paris in such a dangerous time, I would say?
Yes, indeed. I visited Paris recently. In fact, 2 days, 3 days after the very, very tragic events of November 13th. I had to be there for negotiations with the Paris Club. Grenada was invited by the Paris Club to negotiate Grenada's debts.
Hold on, just who is the Paris Club?
Okay, so the Paris Club is made up of several countries there all over the world. They are all the major countries, and what they basically do, the rich countries. So you have the UK, you have France, you have Germany, you have the US, all of the major countries. And they actually form the Paris Club, and they are responsible for considering the debts of poorer countries, including countries like Grenada. I believe the Paris Club was formed back in 1956, thereabouts, and I think there may be about 20 countries in the club. I stand corrected on that. But this includes all the major countries. So at the moment, Grenada owes 4 countries at the Paris Club: the United Kingdom, the United States of America, France, and Russia. Those 4 countries. And so those countries were there, plus you had observers. You had other countries there as well, like the Netherlands, Norway, and Spain. Plus you had representatives from the IMF and the World Bank, sort of as observers. Well, of course, the IMF was asked to speak as well on Grenada and say what is happening with Grenada in terms of the homegrown program and so on. So that's the Paris Club in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. And we were at the invitation of the club. Grenada, I traveled there along with our 2 advisors to negotiate with the club on Grenada's debt. So it was a very interesting time. Not everybody, including at my office, felt that I should travel at that time. But I went in faith. I, of course, went to do the business of Grenada. And we got through. So I'm happy about that.
What more can you tell us about our debt restructuring? See that you ended to negotiate, and I know with the budget and all of that is happening with the restructuring that we're having here. What more can you tell us about that?
All right, so let me put a little context on what has happened. When we started the journey on debt restructuring, our first result was the Taiwan negotiation. As you know, for 10 years, Grenada was in a dispute basically with Taiwan. And we were able to negotiate with Taiwan and to resolve that issue with a 50% haircut or reduction, and also to at the same time commence the repayments. So we've already started paying back, and we're paying principal and interest, so we're actually bringing down the debt. Our next focus, and the reason, there's a very particular reason for the way we sequence the debt restructuring, which is important for the persons who may be particularly interested in this kind of thing. We started with Taiwan, our largest bilateral creditor. We then moved to the commercial creditors, because our commercial, external commercial creditors account for almost 40% of the total debt.
Wow.
So tactically, it was important for us to go to them before going to the Paris Club. And when I met with the Secretary General of the Paris Club back in 2014 in D.C., Washington, D.C., I did explain to her at the time that that's what we would do, and she endorsed that approach. She thought it made sense, because they are the biggest share. So you start with the biggest, and then you get sort of to the smaller ones. So having concluded Taiwan in December 2014, and then formally closed off the restructuring with the commercial creditors in November 12th to be precise, we then went on to Paris to deal with the Paris Club. And with the Paris Club, you have to go to Paris. That's their arrangement. So I couldn't say, well, come to Grenada and do it in Grenada. You have to go to the Paris Club. In Paris, the secretariat of the Paris Club is in the Ministry of Finance in France, the French Ministry, the Trésor, or the French Treasury. Massive, massive buildings. I mean, if you see that place, I mean, it's the Ministère de l'Economie et de Finance, so it's Ministry of Economy and Finance, and it's a huge structure. You look on both sides of the street, and you know, as far as the eyes could see.
Wow.
It's massive. So we were in there to negotiate. We started negotiations at 11 a.m., and we concluded 6 a.m. the next day.
Wow.
We went
straight.
Straight. All night. It was very tough. We had we had 5 proposals and counter proposals before we were able to agree. Now, we were originally asking for a haircut as well, but they did not agree to that, and we knew going in they would not agree to that, but on principle we felt we had to ask for that, because of course that's what we've been asking all of our creditors for, and that's what we believe we need. The issue with the Paris Club is that countries like Grenada are considered or classified as middle-income countries. So the international community sort of has a three broad classifications of countries: low income, middle income, and high income. And many of our countries in the Caribbean, Grenada included, is in the middle income category. The view of those rich countries, like the Paris Club, is that we do not need debt relief. We do not need, debt reduction. That should be reserved for countries like Africa, the African countries, the sub-Saharan countries, which are low income countries. We don't necessarily agree with that, because we believe our vulnerability, as well as the fact that our debt is high, warrants that it be considered appropriately. But anyhow, so that was a battle. We knew from everything about the Paris Club that we knew, and also intelligence, that they would not agree to a haircut. But we did ask for it on principle, as we have done with all our creditors. And having moved past that, we then had to come up with a settlement. And eventually we come up with some parts, it's 15 years, some parts 20 years, with a grace period of between 5 and 7 years. So the news, I suppose, coming out of Paris was the fact that they agreed to a hurricane clause. And this is something we've been asking of our creditors. And
explain that hurricane
clause. Yeah, the hurricane clause is essentially a provision in the agreement that says if a hurricane of a certain magnitude hits Grenada, there will be a standstill on the repayment of the debt. And a negotiation or renegotiation to give the country time to recover, to use resources to help with recovery, and then to reschedule the debt. And it will be done in such a way up front so that there is no default. You basically have an automatic standstill. So that's what we have in our agreement with Taiwan. That's what we have in our agreement with the bondholders or commercial creditors. Paris Club is slightly different. They've agreed to consider it. So it's not automatic, but they've agreed to consider. And this is the first time they've ever even agreed to something like that. So for them, that was a big deal. For us, that's necessary. For them, that was precedent setting. So that took a lot of negotiation as well. It might seem simple to those of us who live in the Caribbean. Well, we know we are accustomed to having hurricanes and the need for us to be ready and, you know, and protect ourselves against such shocks. But it took a lot to get them to move. They're not a body that likes to set precedent easily. So it took us a while to get them to agree on that. But I pressed them on it, including the fact that they were going to be hosting COP21, the major climate change conference in a couple of weeks' time. And I was basically saying to them, you have to demonstrate, the Paris Club that is, that you can give practical expression to the reality of climate change in the debt arrangements. And as a leading sovereign debt restructuring mechanism in the world, you must demonstrate that you understand the reality of climate change, that it is not just talk, and that you are hosting in 2 weeks' time this massive conference, COP21. This is an excellent opportunity for you to show that you actually understand and that it can find practical expression in our agreement. So I made a very strong pitch in my opening. And of course, we haggled throughout the night, but we were able to come to agreement at 6 a.m. So after that, it was basically dash to the hotel, a power nap of less than an hour, and then head to the airport. But we got through.
You got through. So through all of this, how much money did Grenada actually save with this renegotiation?
Well, the Paris Club debt is small. So, I mean, we were only talking about around $11 million. And I should add, before I move on to answer your next question, that we've reserved with the club the right to pursue even better conditions bilaterally. So we can still seek outright debt forgiveness from specific countries like the United Kingdom. And we are pursuing that. So what we've agreed is a minimum, but the agreement allows us at the individual bilateral level with Paris Club members to negotiate even better terms than we have agreed. And if we do, then of course we will save even more money. So the overall Paris Club is only about $11 million plus, of course, the arrears that built up and so on. So it's not a lot of money, but every cent counts in an attempt to restructure the debt. Now, to your question about what we save, when we look at the bond itself, the international bond, which we concluded in mid-November, November 12th, over the next 15 years, as we were repaying, and we start repaying that from next year, we're going to save as a country in nominal terms about $540 million.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Or $200 million. Yes, it's quite a lot. So it's both, and those savings are both at the level of the actual reduction in the debt itself, but also the servicing of the debt. Because obviously, you were talking about rising interest rates. Interest rates were going up to 9%. You were talking about paying, and what you have now is you're paying less, and the interest rates are lower. So when we look in nominal terms, the savings in nominal terms is about $540 million. So this is a very important part of the homegrown program. And naturally, I'm pleased that we're at this stage now, which means we have effectively covered most of the areas of debt restructuring. There are still one or two smaller areas at the non-Paris Club bilateral level, which we are pursuing currently. For example, we had a Libyan loan back in the revolution of $5 million. The Libyans told us back in 2001 that debt was forgiven, but we have never formally received a notification. And of course, we've been following up, but then there have been all of these upheavals and changes in Libya. We are yet to get that official communication. We are in touch with them now, even as we speak. Until we get that, that remains on our books. That $5 million or $30 million EC is still in the public debt of Grenada. So that's them. Then there's a small debt with Algeria. Then there's some debts with Trinidad and Tobago. So those are the areas that we're discussing. But for the most part, we've now regularized our relations with our creditors. And for us, that is a very significant achievement under the homegrown program.
Thank you so much, Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance, talking to him about debt restructuring. He was in Paris, and we expressed our sympathy to the government and people of Paris with what has happened. Why don't we take a word from our sponsors? We come back, and I want to talk to him about the budget. As you know, last Wednesday, the Prime Minister did his presentation of Budget 2016. I want to talk to him about that. We take a word from our sponsors. We come right back.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance here in Grenada. Now, Mr. Timothy, last Wednesday, the Prime Minister presented the 2016 budget. What more can you tell us about unemployment and jobs in the details? I'm sure the debate is on, but what more can you tell us?
Well, one of the things that we've done as a ministry, as government for the last few years, is to do a labor force survey. So in 2013, 2014, and 2015, we've done a labor force survey. Why is that? Because there's a big focus by government, and for good reason, on the issue of employment. Mm-hmm. The issue of jobs is a major concern in the country. As I often say, it is perhaps the number one socioeconomic issue facing our country. So you need to have an objective basis to understand what is happening with unemployment or employment. And so we did that. And the Prime Minister shared with the nation in the budget statement the preliminary results of the 2015 labor force survey. That survey shows the unemployment rate has risen slightly to 30.4%. It was 28.9% in the previous survey, the finalized figure, and it's up slightly 30.4%. That is not unexpected. We are seeing very clear signs of more and more people seeking work and finding work. The bottom line is this labor force survey has shown that in the last couple of years, we have 3,681 persons have found employment. All right, that's jobs created. So that's positive. Of course, that is we still have to need a lot more jobs. So let's be clear on that. But that's going in the right direction. And I think it's also important because some people are having a little difficulty understanding how is it that more people are finding work, but the unemployment rate has gone up slightly.
Yes, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, it's a simple explanation, really. One just has to understand what unemployment is and how it is measured. So let me just briefly explain. The unemployment rate is simply the unemployed divided by the labor force. And what is the labor force? The number of persons employed and the number of persons unemployed. So to find the unemployment rate, you simply take the unemployed and you divide it by the employed plus the unemployed. What is happening in the country is that you're finding more and more people are in fact seeking employment. They're economically active. And as a result, the labor participation rate is going up. That's positive. And so while we want to see the rate come down, The immediate focus must be more and more people looking for work and finding work. And that's a standard ILO definition, International Labour Organization. So we continue to monitor that. And that is not something unique to Grenada. We saw that very clearly in the United States during the period 2011 to 2013, when in fact, under Obama, people were concerned about whether or not, when he was going back for elections, whether or not he could even get reelected with the unemployment rate so high. But already the number of persons who were seeking work and finding was going up, but the rate was still going up. And a lot of people couldn't understand that, whether or not how that would in fact affect his chances. In the end, I mean, he won, but the issue was that since then, unemployment rate has come down to around 5% in the US. So this phenomenon of it going up and then coming down is not new. I think as a country, we have to continue to look to see what is happening. For example, there's some issues in the labor force survey that perhaps next year, God willing, at the Ministry of Finance, we're thinking about having a discussion on. There are a lot of people who are unemployed or underemployed, and a lot of it has to do with their lack of education. Right, there are a lot of people who do not have more than a primary school education, and that has affected their earning capacity and their employability. And so when you're looking at the unemployment issue, you have to look at the structural issue of unemployment, especially among our youth and to some extent our women folk. But that's, of course, is, you know, perhaps what I could do in a future program is ask the director of statistics, once the labor force survey we have final results, to come in and to explain that, and he would give, of course, as a statistician, perhaps even a better explanation about some of these issues. But it's a very important issue. So the Prime Minister gave the nation an update on that. But on the job front, I think more than just saying what the rate was, he talked about job opportunities. So that was both on the side of what is happening with the Small Business Development Fund, what is happening with a number of government projects, and then he spent quite a lot of time on private sector projects. In fact, had he not spent that amount of time, the speech would not have gone past 2 hours. Okay. But I think he felt he was keen to share with the nation some of the real possibilities, prospects of private sector investments, either recently commenced or about to commence or planned to be to start in 2016. And so, if you look at the budget statement, there's quite a bit on the major private sector projects. So people can read what's happening where around the country, which I think is perhaps even more transparent than just
positive.
Than just saying projects coming. You can see what are the specific projects, where they're going to be, and you perhaps even know some of the people who are going to be involved in these projects. So it's also a way of holding the investors accountable to the nation, because they are given concessions, incentives on the basis of delivering certain investments and jobs, and it's important that these projects start on time and start when they're supposed to start. And you know, sometimes there are issues with that. I mean, they have to get physical planning permission, they have to do designs. These things do take time. But obviously, from a Grenada perspective, from a jobs perspective, you want to see these projects implemented in the shortest possible time. So I think there's going to be a lot of effort by the Minister of Implementation and across government to support the implementation of the major private sector projects.
Okay, there's something that I thought was interesting that need to be noted out of the budget. Please explain how the proportion of government revenues on salaries and pension went from 70 cents to 84 cents.
To 48 cents.
To 48 cents, sorry.
Yeah.
To 48 cents.
Yeah, it's, again, that's good question, but it's basically a simple matter of the revenues have improved significantly. Recall, before the homegrown program, the government monthly intake total, all in, was about $35 million. Mm-hmm. All right, so you imagine a wage bill of $25 million, and you're taking in 35. That's around 70 cents, 70%. Today, the revenues on average, everything included, all the monthly ins, is amount to close to $52 million. So you have a difference of almost $17 million on a monthly basis. VAT obviously has significantly improved, among other things. And I've always made the point, quite apart from the taxes which have been added, and there are taxes which have been added, we all know that most of us are paying more. But there's also the question of the VAT, which has improved in terms of collection, partly because the economy itself is growing faster. Mm-hmm. Remember, I've always made the point, when we implemented VAT, and I make no apology for that, I felt we had to do it when we did it, back in 2010, the economy was in recession. And so we were not able to see the full value or the full potential of the VAT. I think we've seen more and more of the VAT perform as, of course, the economy grows. And that's quite expected. And I also know that there are still issues with compliance. I mean, compliance is high, relatively speaking, but clearly there are areas that could be improved, and we're working on those. So in short, to answer your question, you know, 25 million, the payroll of 25 million, you're collecting 35 million, that's 70%. Now you have a payroll of a similar size, 25 million, you're collecting almost 52. That drops to 48% or 48 cents.
It's quite the opposite of what it was.
Right. So it's really the revenues that have improved. It's not so much expenditure has been kept tight, But it's really the fact that there's been significant increases in the revenue that explains why the proportion of wages and salaries and pension as a proportion of revenue has fallen from 70 to 40.
So government used to collect $35 million a month.
Correct.
Now we collecting 50.
Almost 52.
52 million a month.
Yes.
So that is, and that has helped the deficit from 18 million to one.
You bang on million. Target. You're following, you're tracking. Very okay. good. Very good. That's okay. exactly what has happened.
Okay.
That is exactly.
So that's where government got the money to bring the deficit down.
Correct. So, I mean, the taxes and better tax administration and the fact that the economy is growing, all of these are the factors which explain why, on a monthly basis, we're collecting almost 17 million more, both in revenues and the general grants. So, all in. When I say all in, I mean everything that we collect. Most of it is revenue, actual current revenue, and then, of course, you would have grants.
Okay.
National Transformation Fund, whatever.
Almost out of time, but I want to get this question in. You promised on this program here that the Ministry of Finance would deliver some innovations in the budget statement. What are they?
Well, we've kept our word. I think the first one is found in Annex 1. So first of all, if you look at the cover, I think the cover is even nicer than in the past. We make an effort, and I give all kudos to the Printry, Mr. Braffitt and his team at the Printry. Of course, we do give input in the design, but they come up with the ultimate production, and you will notice that we try to keep improving our game.
Very nice, I must say.
Very well. So thank you very much, and I will pass that on to all concerned. Then if you look at the annexes, that's where some of the innovations are. The first annex is called Budget Framework Paper. This is the first time we've ever published with the budget a medium-term sort of projection for what we expect to happen in the economy. And I mean, obviously our numbers are conservative, but here you see 2016, 17, and 18. Here's what we think is going to happen with the economy, with the revenues, with the debt. This has never been done before. Mm-hmm. And we're very proud about that because we believe that this is a step in the right direction. It is also a requirement under the new fiscal responsibility law. Mm-hmm. And although the law has not formally come into force yet, it comes into force in January 2016. We didn't feel we should wait. The spirit is there. We committed, so we went ahead and we put it in the budget. Something else that's we've added, and we thought, given all the discussion about taxes and so on, we should give the facts and let people see for themselves and judge for themselves how Grenada compares with the OECS in terms of taxes. So if you look at annexes 4 and 5, we give a comparison of income tax in the OECS. So I refer you to that. You should check that out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Check it out for yourself.
I will.
And you look at the tax rates in the Eastern Caribbean Currency Union. And what you will find is Grenada is not the most highly taxed country in the OECS. We compare favorably on many of the things with the other countries. And what is really different is that we're collecting some taxes now, frankly, which we need to be able to do healthcare and roads. Right.
The collection has improved.
Yeah, well, we have added taxes. There's no doubt about that. We have. Let's be clear about that. But we have also improved administration. And I'm very clear that that has also been a significant reason for the improved revenue effort that we've seen and the improved tax effort that we've seen in the economy. So that's probably positive. And then you will see some other very nice graphs and charts in there. There's an economic review, so it gives you a sense of what is happening economy sector by sector, including what's happening at St. George's University, for example, how enrollment has moved over time at SGU. That's in there. Very interesting to see how the university has evolved over time. Mm-hmm. So I commend that to everyone. I know the economists and the students at MCC and SGU and elsewhere will find it, and secondary schools will find it very useful as a reference document. And so a lot of effort went into that. And I want to thank the guys in policy who did a lot of work on these annexes for us. So thanks very much. I do want to also recognize our head of debt management, Mrs. Natasha Marcus-Sylvester, who's worked with me and the rest of the team on the debt restructuring and so on. And it's obviously been very hectic for many months, but especially in the last month or so when we were closing off the deals with the commercial creditors, when we were doing the agreements with NIS, and of course now the Paris Club and so on. We've been very, very busy. And of course, budget. So it's been very intense. But I must say that the team in the Ministry of Finance, all of the team, Mike Sylvester, the Deputy Peers, the Accountant General, Mr. Obike, Head of Debt, Head of Corporate Communications, of course the Revenue Controllers, Colin Forrester, Inland Revenue, Carly Felix Customs, everybody. I couldn't call all the names. have been playing critical roles. And it's really teamwork. And that's why when we deliver the budget, for us, it's really a celebration of team.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pleased that we're at this stage now where the budget has been presented. Obviously, the Senate, the House is considering it. The Senate will do so shortly. And then we expect to have the budget formally approved before the end of the year. So come January 2016, you have an approved budget from the one you're implementing.
Wow. Thank you so much, Mr. Timothy Antoine, from within the Ministry of Finance. You heard it. The budget has been presented, and the Prime Minister did an excellent job in presenting what they have put together. And thank you so much for joining the course today. We're coming to the end of the year, and we have been here a lot. Thank you so much for sharing with us from the Ministry of Finance. I really, really appreciate it. I think my listeners, too, they appreciate the time you took to come and talk to us.
Well, thank you. And I'm getting a lot of very positive feedback from the community, the national community. People who listen to the program and find them very useful, or programs very useful. So we're going to continue to do that.
Thank you so much. Wish you well, and look forward to meeting you next week again, where we talk about what is happening inside the Ministry of Finance. Thank you, folks, for listening. You can go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. There's a section there on the right-hand side of the webpage. The program will be uploaded there, and therefore you can tag it and send it out to other persons, or you can listen it back yourself. sgbcgrenada.com. Search Inside Finance. All the programs are also there for the entire year. It's there. You can put a search in and find any program you want. God bless you. I am Pastor Stanford Simon, wishing you a very blessed and enjoyable day.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.